2024 has started off on a great note, and especially for certain artists. And when I'm talking about certain artists, I'm talking about Metro Boomin and Future, because they've done incredible things this year. They've released two studio albums. One of them I'm not the biggest fan of, but the other one, in my opinion, will go down as one of the best of the year with We Don't Trust You. Like That just hit three times number one on the Hot 100 as well. Three consecutive weeks. That is incredible too. So to be able to see the dominance of this duo in 2024 is absolutely incredible. And, you know, by the time you guys are probably hearing this, or if you're hearing this in the future, there's obviously the whole Drake and Kendrick feud going on, and there's so many different things going on in hip-hop. But what's interesting about Lou and I's list today is that this is really just focusing on the top 10 list. What have these guys created? What have they done well within their career? Everything from We Don't Trust You to some songs off of Monster, What a Time to Be Alive, self-titled, DS2, you choose it, we have it. So in today's episode, Lou and I are going to be going through our top 10 Metro Boomin and Future songs. And if you guys want to check out more top 10 lists just like this, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else that you guys are listening to your audio experiences, because we're doing episodes every single Tuesday, and this is just one of them. So Lou, how do you feel, man? Because every time we come into a top 10 episode, I always ask you, what goes into list? But I could already guess what goes into this list. It's probably going to be mega bangers. It's going to be iconic moments. It's going to be the chemistry between the producer and the artist. So while I do understand what you're trying to go for within this list, give me some of your criterias.
I mean, this was a super tough list to make. I'm not going to lie to you, because when you think about Future and Metro Boomin, their catalog together has been spread out over the course of so many years, so expansive. Many different projects. And when it comes down to it, I truly simply went for songs that stand out within their catalog. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you're going to see my number 10 once we get to it. You're going to be like, is that really a top 10 song? And again, it's because no other song like that exists in their entire catalog together. So for me, it's like I was looking for the tracks that not only hit hard and serve as bangers, but also separate themselves from the pack of everything else they've done together. So that's like the main criteria, I would say, for me.
That's interesting, because in my opinion, I kind of went with a different approach, where I went for their biggest slappers and I went for some of their most iconic moments within their career and their greatest displays of chemistry. I also have some picks on my list that are a bit more underrated, in my opinion. So I'll go through that and I'll explain it to you. But I think that we're going to have some overlap within our list as well.
Oh, for sure.
But we'll see what you brought in and we'll see what I brought in. So let's talk
any
about
honorable mentions.
That's it. I wanted to get into the honorable mentions. As far as some honorable mentions go, I had Monster as an honorable mention. I love the energy of the track, but I do have certain songs that place above it. My Collection was another one that I was considering. Didn't make it, but could have made it a list maybe another day. As far as something else that I was considering, I mean, not really. I went into this list and I was like, okay, I know what I'm looking for and I know what I'm going to bring into this episode and what I really want to see. Did Like That actually make your list?
Like That is an honorable mention for me. I think it's a fantastic song, but it's not top 10. I have Radical in here. Diamonds Dancing is up there. Mad Love off of Monster. I Serve the Bass, DS2. We Don't Trust You. Intro off of We Don't Trust You. Scrape off of Future. Zanny Family is so underrated off of Evil. And then Out of My Hands. Like, I already think it's that strong of a cut that it could be considered for someone's top 10 list of Future and Metro songs. I truly fuck with it that much. But what's your number 10, man? Let's get the show on the road.
All right, number 10 is going to be Mask off of self-titled. What do you have at number 10?
Everyday Hustle featuring Rick Ross.
Wow, okay, interesting. So I like to pick on your end because I understand where you're coming from like a display of lyricism from Future and also how unique that production is. I do feel like it's definitely one of the strongest in his catalog. But the reason why I wanted to start off my list with Mask Off is that I don't think it's in the top 5 category. I do feel like there are cuts that are stronger, let's say, in production and rapping performance areas from Future. But when you look at Mask Off, like, that's the mecca of their collaborations. And I think that is worth something, especially when you go into the song itself, because let's say you do strip the numbers and you just look at the song for what it is. It's actually a really well put together song, and it's one of the biggest slappers they've ever produced. So you go into the flute sample, obviously one of the most iconic sample flutes in Metro Boomin's catalog, period, any artist. So that definitely adds points for me. One of Future's most iconic and catchiest hooks that had the whole world singing, that adds points for me as well. It's a perfect display of chemistry of what they could do together, and I think when they did it together, no kidding, this was going to go diamond, and it was going to be one of the biggest songs that the genre has ever seen. So for that reason, I wanted to have it at the number 10 placement, but you didn't bring it in today. I don't believe you brought it into your top 10.
I did not bring it into my list.
So why didn't it make your top 10 list?
I just think there's better songs, better displays of chemistry, better performances from Future. It's a fantastic song, and it would be in my short list. And I should have said it in my honorable mentions, to be honest, but Ultimately, you know, I think there's better songs out there from the two of them.
Okay, so talk to me about Everyday Struggle.
Everyday Hustle, Everyday featuring Hustle, Rick Ross. This song wasn't in my top three when I did my top three songs off of We Don't Trust You, but the more and more that I listen to it, I have to give them their flowers for this record just because, as I mentioned, they don't have another record like it. And from their entire catalog, all 50-plus songs that they have together, nothing will give you what Future does here, where he's spazzing over this Chipmunk Soul beat, catches a crazy pocket on the last verse, and describes like a drug deal with a couple of lines as well, which again, in terms of like topical focus, you don't find that every day from Future. Funny lines like drop a brick in the toilet, he ain't talking about shit. But aside from that, he's just rapping sensationally here, and he really stepped up to the plate on a backdrop where most people would assume he wouldn't be able to thrive. And then you get the Rick Ross feature, which, of course, you know it's going to be fantastic when he gets into his luxury bag. It's pure opulence. Funny lines like, got 200 cars, haters screaming, damn it. Or new bitch, never meet the parents. So he added a nice dynamic between Future and Metro, and maybe even served as the inspiration to get Future over a production like that. And Metro Boomin gave us a masterclass of production here, giving you a flip of that 1960s female soul singer, getting the Kanye West Chipmunk Soul style, then getting the drums being played a bit differently on the second half, and the sample flip being completely transformed on its head. This is truly one of their best displays collectively as a duo, so it had to be there.
W. All right, let's keep going on with this. Number nine, what do you have?
Number nine is Cinderella with Travis Scott.
Number nine, I have Jumpman. I included Jumpman.
I didn't bring Jumpman either.
There's
better songs.
My goodness, Luke.
I'm not going for the hits, but yours looks like a rap caviar list of like Future and Metro Boomin hits. Jumpman and Mask Off are starting off your list. Like, okay.
Are those bad songs to you?
They're not bad songs.
They're placed in the amazing categories of our tier list, low-key.
Just better songs off of What a Time to Be Alive, produced by Metro Boomin. You wouldn't agree?
No, well, I don't think so, especially with the sample flip on Jumpman, and even looking at the high tempo and energy and how iconic the song is. You know, it kind of even birthed his whole demeanor and his whole sort of like thing with the producer tag as well. There's so much history behind Jumpman, and I feel like there is an iconic factor to these tracks. And it's not like I'm placing these in the top three, but to completely neglect them and say that these are not top 10 collaborations, I think they would even disagree with me. So to be able to have this in my top 10, I feel like is a right pick. Going at the Jumpman, the energy is absolutely contagious, and it took the world by storm. This is one of the first times where you were able to see what Metro Boomin and Future were able to do on a global scale, and how they were able to take over the industry with the record. The perfect chemistry between Future's quick rapping and even Drake on the song itself, it's better than where you had, for example, in my opinion, and just being able to see them come together. It was carried, and it was the biggest moment of 2015 as well for hip-hop. So I feel like when you take all of those factors in and you really look at the song structure itself, the iconic hook, just everything that goes into it, it's definitely a top 10 collaboration from them, and I'm still bumping it to this day. And regardless of the numbers or regardless of how popular it is, I don't think that that could jade the fact of how good this song is. So I had to include it in my list.
I just feel like there's better productions and performances and displays of chemistry between the two of them.
Like, I don't think it's crazy to say Jumpman is a top 10 Future and Metro Boomin song.
Is this the only song you have from What a Time to Be Alive on here?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I got two more coming.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Yeah, as long as you got two more.
I got my shit.
If Jumpman's the only one he's going with, if that's the one he chose from What a Time, we've got to ask some questions there. But all right, we'll see what else you ended up bringing. But let me stick with We Don't Trust You, another song off of the album that had to make my list. And this is going to be Cinderella featuring Travis Scott. And when I think about presentation, when I think about making a record feel like an event, this was one of those eventful songs that really took the whole world by storm, because they were teasing it as live shows. There was a bunch of hype being built up on the internet because of all the performances they were doing before the song even dropped. And that's something that I value out of a track, because that's what makes the fan base associate memories, when there's pre-release, there's release, and there's post-release, and there's different stages to the songs, mm-hmm. and you can enjoy them in different ways, right? Because sometimes there's changes that are made, like there was with this one. And when the final version came out, I was just so pleased to know that it lived up to the hype. I think that this is one of the most unique sounding Metro Boomin beats that he's ever put together. When you think about that dreamy harp and that just the twinkly synths that are playing throughout it, it's dreamy, it's enchanting.
So Cinderella really over Mask Off and Jumpman?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how I'm feeling.
That's crazy.
And Future just powers up with a crazy flow switch throughout the song. The track presence is commanding. The luxury talk keeps you engaged. And then I actually love how Travis Scott stays in that same boat and actually dominates with that same flow. I thought it was a good choice, to be honest with you, to match that flow. Memorable bars like "That bitch make that bitch jealous," "This cup ain't never fail us." He adds harmonies, ad-libs, and
"Forever like Rosetta Stone." Like, yeah, you
fills in all the
quotables.
Empty space on that track beautifully. Like, there's not Absolutely. A second where you could be bored with that song. And this is the best example for me. Again, talking about songs that stand out, the best example of a chill psychedelic song from Future and Metro Boomin. And that's why I think it's on the level of their top tier tracks.
All right, let's keep going on with this. Number 8 placement, I have "All Right" off of Purple Rain. What do you have at number 8?
All right, I got that one. Not yet, though. I got Scholarships with Drake at number 8.
Okay, you're going to see that a bit higher up the list, but let me talk a bit about "All Right." You and I were talking about this song earlier, and we were saying how it's low-key the most underrated Future song ever. It hasn't even cracked 10 million streams on Spotify, which is pretty crazy to think about, because when you go into this track and you understand the type of energy and the vocal presence and the mic presence from Future and even those thumping 808s, you would think this has the recipe to be a platinum song, but it's not even certified. And I find that pretty fucking crazy. But when you go into "All Right," what I like about it is that it's one of the most unique Future performances that you'll get within his entire catalog, without Metro or not, because you're getting this sort of patient and, I would say, calculated and timed flow, where he's taking these short pauses between every single line and he's ending off every single rhyme with the "All Right." And I feel like it adds this beautiful suspense to the song itself, and it adds this grandiose fact to it too. Then you're getting like this alarm sounding synth in back. I don't know exactly what it is, but it just sounds so menacing. It sounds scary, and it just automatically engages you into the track itself. I definitely think it's one of the best in their career that they've ever made together. And like you were kind of saying, maybe for previous songs, you're not going to find another song like this. Like, this is truly, I think, the most underrated song in both of their catalogs. And the fact that not many people are listening to it, to me, is kind of crazy, because you and I have been listening to this song for years now, and I always thought it was more popular. So, "All Right" off of Purple Rain, but let's talk about "Scholarships." What do you fuck with about
"Scholarships"? Yeah, it's just an absolute vibe. The whole "balling out of control" refrain is addicted like fucking crack. I feel like the idea of them getting scholarships out of balling is a cool concept to me. They had a lot of fun with this song, it felt like. I feel like Drake has the standout performance here with the Kentucky Blue flow, which, like, if you could have made AI or, like, any rapper choose a different flow in that song, what could have been a better flow, you wouldn't be able to. Like, he literally picked the best possible flow to ride that beat out with.
To be able to get it out.
I love Future's trains of thought on this song. Like, for example, how he goes from "I fell in love with the Rollie" to "I wake up, pray every morning, these demons are calling my soul." Like, just the way that flows together and that his thoughts etch together.
I think it's genius.
And it makes you realize, like, how much someone like a Future has going on mentally on a daily basis, and how many different demons they're struggling with, or different thoughts that are running through their minds. But yeah, Future and Drake are literally rapping about trying to retain their mental clarity and not making background noise and distractions get in their way. They're trying to keep their minds right. And you might not get that because the song's just an outright fucking banger, but that is what they're rapping about. The production from Metro, it's eerie, it's hard-hitting. I love the way that the track was mixed, just because there's times where the production is placed in the foreground and then it goes into the background. Mm-hmm. And just that spiraling synth sound that you have towards the end as you get the instrumental outro, that was really remarkable too, just because you don't always get solo time from Metro Boomin where he gets to have 10, 20, 30 seconds of an instrumental riding out, and you get that here. So again, a song where everybody got to do their thing and play their part, and it was special, man.
All right, let's go on to selection number 7. This is where I'm going to have "Digital Dash." What do you have at number 7?
That low? I have "All Right" here.
What do you mean that low?
It's in my top 10. I think it's a better song than "Scholarship," but
yeah. No, I wouldn't say so. So let me talk a bit about "Digital Dash." I think the reason why I like it so much is just because of the energy that it evokes, you know, and like the type of fast-paced tempo that you get out of the track. The whole thing of like "Dope in the Bushes" and the way that, you know, Future is able to start off the song, it automatically intrigues you. And like the production feels futuristic. It feels like there's something more at play with the production itself. And I love Metro's drums on this. I love when he's able to not give you like the craziest thumping drums like you'd get on an All Right, but more of like those fast-paced, quick drums that, you know, no one else in the industry is able to replicate, and they're so well done as far as like an entire track goes. And also, I love Drake's part on this song. It is so fucking sick. I feel like his hook is incredible. I really like what this song means to What a Time to Be Alive, and arguably the best ever intro on any like Future album, anything all across the board. So
is it better than We Don't Trust You? Because I think you're gonna have that on your list, right?
It's up there. I said it's one of the best.
Okay, I think you said it's the best intro on a Future album.
No, it's arguable, but it's definitely in the upper echelon of like Future.
I think there's also another better Future intro, which I'll get into later. But
and I have that as well. But it's definitely the upper echelon for sure. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know, bro.
What do you think this is?
Like the way you were talking about it.
Listen, I'm not the guy that's saying about like, you know, everyday hustle and Cinderella over a Jumpman or Mask Off. It's a bit disrespectful.
I don't think it's disrespectful.
That's a bit of recency bias. There,
no, it's not recency bias. Definitely
Ooh,
not.
I smell recency bias in the air.
Definitely.
Who's cooking the recency bias?
Absolutely not. Ant is cooking the rap caviar tracks. But let's keep on going. Number 7. All Right. This is where I have it. Like you said, one of the most underrated Future songs from his entire catalog. 4 million streams on Spotify, zero certification somehow. And just for me, this is about the cinematic build of the song. And this is something that I love so much about Future and Metro when they are playing at their best, is the atmosphere building and them putting you in a certain zone, a certain setting. And that's what they do here, because the song starts off with these strings that sound like they're coming from a distance. Then as you move closer, you have this fogginess. It feels like there's smoke in the air. And then you get the signature key stabs that are like the most audible parts of the beat. And then you have Future delivering the All Right hook, which is one of the greatest and catchiest hooks from his entire career. And then, you know, Future celebrating making moolah on a daily basis, how his hood supports him, feeling the pain of his enemies. He's really touching on a lot of different things here. And it's a fucking party anthem that has quality writing from Future, which, again, that's another rarity when you look at Future and Metro Boomin songs, that duality of party banger, well-written song. Only 2 minutes and 25 seconds, and I'll tell you this, I feel like if there was an additional verse on this song, it would have ranked higher.
You think so?
I think it would have ranked higher if he gave a bit more and gave, like, a killer performance on another verse. It would have been higher up for me.
That's pretty crazy.
But, yeah, I love it, bro. It's a bass-heavy smasher, and underrated as fuck. But yeah, number 6, what do you got?
All right, number 6, where I'm going to put Scholarships.
I had there Scholarships. It is. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a top 5, but I think, as I said in a TikTok, I do believe it's the best collaboration between Drake and Future. Like, hands down.
I think that's
my take on it. But yeah, give me your number 6, would you have?
Fetty off a Monster. That's a song that more All people right. need to bring into the
yeah,
conversation.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I would have had it in my honorable mentions, or maybe like if I did a top 20 list, but I enjoyed that pick. As far as Scholarships go, I think he did a great job at explaining it. The production, just Drake's flow on it. I don't really have much else to say out of this one, so I'm going to put it at number 6. But talk to me about Fetty.
Yeah, I mean, I had to have at least one song off of Monster, because this is truly one of their most important collaborations as a duo. This is the one where Future really took a chance on Metro Boomin to be like, okay, here, like, executive produce this project. And then they had records like Fetty that came out of it. So production-wise, I love the distorted bass. I love the keys that sound like they're from a different galaxy, the spacey sound effects. The production is explosive, and that's exactly what you want for Future, who's going to tear into a beat with that beast-like energy, and that's what he does here. He turns the energy knob to level 100. He sounds locked in. He sounds angry. He sounds heated. And he raps about being the reincarnated Machiavelli, doing wild shit like sipping codeine, throwing not singles in the club, but hundreds, ordering Ace of Spades by the case. And the song is just... it represents if Metro Boomin and Future were like, let's make the toughest, hardest song that we possibly can, this would be that final product. It's mean. It's grimy. Quotables like, my chain is yellow on yellow, my bitch yellow on yellow, in the kitchen remixing this Yola, they ran out of red, I'm drinking on yellow. Like, the flows, the energy, it's all volatile. And like I said, in terms of that aggressive Future that ends up becoming absent a little bit later in his career, this is the peak of that type of Future. So it had to be represented on this list for me.
All right, let's move into the top 5. We're halfway through the list, and this is where we're going to see some heavy bangers. At number 5, this is where I put X.
Where you put it. I don't have X on here.
Why? You're such a big fan.
I'm a huge fan of it. I'm just
it's
like
one of their best ever collaborations.
I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to choose features for this, but if I were to have, then I probably would have
okay,
had
so
it
you
somewhere.
Wanted to go strictly only
I wanted to go strictly, yeah. For this top 10 list, I'm like, I'll give songs where like Future has more runtime, but yeah, it's valid as fuck for sure.
I think it's one of the best ever songs that they've ever like produced together. Even looking at, let's say, some previous songs on this, I don't think you're gonna capture energy like this from anything else that I had mentioned before. Like you were speaking about in a previous recording that we did for X, I love the way that there's another verse from him and that he completely takes over. And that type of 2016 Future was so fucking dangerous because they probably did a lot of those recordings, let's say within the Cowboy Hat Future era and that sort of stuff. So to be able to witness this on a track with 21 Savage is fucking crazy. To be able to also get like the haunting woman laugh at the beginning of the song and the cinematic value, like that was so revolutionary for trap, and to be able to witness that in real time for me at least was so iconic as a listener. And I do feel like when you're looking at some of their greatest ever collaborations, yes, maybe this is not a Future and Metro song, I had to incorporate it because he is on this song, and at the end of the day they're on the same track together and they produce the same thing.
Yeah.
So, and I also think that when you look at the 21 Savage verse, yeah, it's fucking fire, but it's all Future on this.
Future really is the
guy.
It's
all Future on this. He's, you know, he's in his misogyny bag. He's just getting fucking lit. You know, he's doing his thing.
Bitches on me, immigration. Like, what?
It's just some crazy quotable. That's what I'm saying, though, is that when you really look at it, this is really a top tier collaboration from them, and I have no problem putting it into my top five. I really think it's one of the best. So X is going to go on number five. What do you have on number
five?
You think
if we did like just, I don't know, a tier list or something where you gather up artists and their funniest lyrics, you think Future would rank number one on like having literally the funniest and most like out of pocket like shit to say?
Absolutely.
I think he probably would. Number five, this is one where at least I hope you'll feel like, wow, I made a mistake, because it flew over my head. I didn't think of it because this was a last minute addition for me. I'm going through my list. I'm like, wait a second, I remember hearing a Metro tag on this song, but it's on a project that no one really thinks about as a project where Future and Metro did work together. So who? Featuring Young Thug.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could be.
Would you not, bro? That is easily one of their best collaborations. This is peak 2016.
Yeah, but that's not like, that's a DJ Esco song then.
It's a Metro Esco project, but it's a Metro Boomin produced song.
Yeah, no, I understand. But then why wouldn't you put X if that was the case?
Because it's very different. He was a feature on it. This is Future song, but Metro Boomin produced
on it.
Well, it's
a Future and Young Thug. Anyways.
No, it's a Future song that features Young Thug. It's very different compared to X. On X, Future's featured. On this song, it's Future song and Metro produced it. Like every other song here.
Anyways, it's a bit of a mindfuck for me. But regardless,
I'll explain it. How is it a mindfuck?
No, I understand.
It's a project that was hosted by DJ Esco.
Yes.
Future's project, which is called Project ET.
Mm-hmm.
It's Future song. Metro produced the beat. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, you seem like you had a mind fuck. I thought I'd just make it simple. But yeah. Anyways, most underrated songs in Future's catalog, and I love Future's vocals in the background as we build up into the Metro tag. And then you just have Thug breaking through the glass. It's such a grandiose way to start the song, and Thug unlocks like these elasticy flows that are stretchy, that are fucking interchangeable. And I love that he uses multiple vocal switches as well for his pitch. He brings in these sheesh ad-libs. Like, it's an all-around dynamic performance from Young Thug. I love lines like Hannah Montana banging in the red bandanas, blat, blat. Future literally starts off his verse with, like, having a moment of silence for the ones we've lost. And that's really such a bold way to fucking start off a verse. And then he brings you his unique flows and some talk about raw dope. And, you know, he raps Young Thug going brazy and then passes him the mic again. So the energy was on a crazy level. And you could tell that they were, like, really down to work together, because this song was made in 2016, right after Thug and Future patched up their beef. So you had them in 2016, arguably all in their prime, making a song together. And a lot of people just forget about this one.
All right. Let's keep going on with this one. Number four, what do you have?
What do you have at number four?
No, I've been revealing this list. What do you have?
Number four for me is going to be Superhero featuring Chris Brown.
Oh, not a top three.
Top four.
Yeah. Wow, okay. We Don't Trust You. Off of We Don't Trust You. Okay. That's where I placed it. The reason why I think that this is arguably the best song off of We Don't Trust You is that not only is it the title track, but I feel like it perfectly like embodies what this album is supposed to mean. And It's just such a display of chemistry between Metro Boomin and Future. The way that the production starts off with "We don't trust you," and the way that, you know, Future comes in and he's almost like sounding sad about this, and he's sounding angry, and there's so much emotion, and then boom, when those 808s come in and they thump in, it was just such a well-arranged production. And then when you get those higher vocals from Future later on into the song, and you know, everything comes in a lot more in a grandiose way, it's really one of the best songs they've ever produced. Even from a thematic basis, I feel like this is some of the best writing in Future's catalog. Just talking about all the people that have done him wrong, you know, talking about how he feels like he has fake friends in his life, and people talk about that's the Drake diss, whatever the case may be. Obviously, you could look at it that way, but
I think that's what it is. But yeah,
no, it is that. But like, you could also like I'm not thinking about this as a Drake diss. Like, I like to look at this as more of like a surface level sort of thing, where I'm actually looking at the writing and it's well done. There's cohesive thought behind this, and even the hook is contagious. It's really one of the greatest displays of Future and Metro Boomin's work. And I think that when we look back at 2024, we will remember this song for a very long time. And it's just one of my favorite songs they've ever put together. It's going to be up there in my top five songs of the year, low key.
Wow.
It's going to be up there in my top five songs of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely a great song.
It's a masterful song.
Next up, number four, Superhero featuring Chris Brown. This song's amazing. This song, I'm not mad that you have it in your top three. Like, I totally see the vision behind that. I think it's the most cinematic production for Metro Boomin. Not the best production necessarily, but the one where he put the most into it. Like, you could really tell that he was doing the most with this beat, in the sense of, again, the opera buildup at the very beginning, going into the victorious roaring trumpets. Then you're having those trumpets clashing with these classic trap snares. Then you go from those snares to the smooth transition, where you're getting like woozy hints of bass and keys, where Chris Brown ends up coming in. Throughout the song, you have sounds of cars revving up. Like, he really threw his all into here and showed us why he has that title of being the best producer of his generation from a lot of people. And this song, you feel invincible listening to this song. Mm-hmm. You feel unstoppable. Also, again, to tip my hat to Metro, the sample of Jay-Z, "So Appalled," "Live long enough to see yourself become the villain," which was a line from Dark Knight, that fit in perfectly into the album's theme as the intro song. Then you have Future that came in with one of my favorite flows of all time. "When I'm on that dope again, I'm on that flow again. Switch up the flow again." A lot of quotables here, like "Shout out to Dallas, my bitch is a star," or "Piss on your casket, shoot at your broad." I feel like there'd be maybe a bit more appreciation for this song if it was on a mixtape, like a 56 Nights that wasn't too mainstream. But I feel like because it blew up so quickly, it kind of grew off people. People started saying it was overplayed. No. I mean, I totally disagree with that. And I've had a good time like seeing this song become like sort of like a theme song for legends. Like, I've seen so many edits of like Messi fucking up like entire teams with this song playing
in the
background.
Or Michael Jordan in a game seven.
And like, it's just, it is.
It's
a joy to experience in so many different contexts. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? So, like I said, This was for Metro. I had to do this one for Metro because I do think that Metro is who shines the most on this song.
All right, let's keep thinking going on with this. Top three songs on this.
Yep.
Digital
Dash is where I have it here.
Number three, "Thought It Was a Drought."
It's in your top two?
Yeah.
It's wow, top two. Crazy.
Superheroes,
okay.
In my top two.
Is it number one? That's the question. Interesting.
I think you know my number
one. No, that's true. So it's number two.
Yeah. But listen, "Thought It Was a Drought." I mean, it's arguably Future's most iconic hook. It really is. "I just fucked your bitch in some Gucci flip-flops." It's like Future at his most toxic, being able to hear, you know, Future sipping codeine before he gets into his verse. This is just an anthem. This is what truly embodies, you know, that cowboy Future and really gives you that true feeling of DS2. So when I was looking at this list and I was looking at the top five, I was asking myself, how don't I put this within the top three? It's arguably one of the best songs off of DS2. You could argue it is the best song off of DS2. And you could even look at it and say that, you know, it's up there with the Jumpmans. It's up there in the Mask Offs with how iconic it is as well. Not only as a play on the quality level, but it also has that iconic factor. It's not as high in certification, but when you look at, let's say, what it means to the future fan base and what it means to hip-hop culture, especially for that period in time, it will go down as a historic song in both their catalogs. So when I was looking at it as well, you just got into like this space ethereal production. It puts you in an absolute trance. Even the drums on this are so patient, but yet they just thump through your speakers. It's a beautiful song to play in the whip, and it's just a fucking anthem. So that is a top three Future and Metro Boomin song. That's
what
I have at number three.
It is, without a doubt. Number three, Digital Dash with Drake. The intro to What a Time to Be Alive. I feel like this is a song that perfectly balances Future and Drake. They have equal mic time. They both show us what they're able to do with that production. And I love this beat, bro. Like, Metro and Southside went absolutely crazy with those spacey synths. And the first time you hear them, you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, I've never heard anyone manipulate synths in this way. I love the heavy bass, the explosive 808s. The beat as a whole is just absolutely epic. And Future raps with so much confidence, going from one fire flow to the next. And the transition to Drake is just fucking seamless. You have Drake, after the whole Meek situation, bringing it back into the fold, giving you lines about how Meek must hate his life. Like, you could tell that, like, he was in his arrogant bag on this song. And it's like, after winning that battle, he was still, like, throwing subtle shots just because, and sort of like feeling himself and riding high on that win. So it was cool to see what type of, you know, headspace he was still in September of 2015. And you know, Future rapping about having dope in the bushes and telling you how he's gonna cook it. I mean, I'm always gonna be a sucker for Future getting into that specific descriptive drug talk. And you have the gee ad-libs as well that makes it a really cool performance. And yeah, 4 minutes of primetime luxury trap music, so had to be there. But number two, that's where I have thought it was a drought, and I'm guessing that's where you have Superhero.
That's where I have Superhero. Yeah. I think you did a great job at explaining it. Like you said, it's easily one of the most anthemic bangers within their entire catalog. The transitions in the production, those anthemic horns, it's on a completely different level production-wise. And even the Future verses and the flows that he locks into, some of the most unique flows that you'll find within his catalog. And it deserved to be as big as it is. It really did. It was undeniable. Yeah. It was an undeniable hit when you first heard it.
Has it grown on you? Because if I'm not mistaken, tell me if I am. I feel like you didn't have it in your top three originally.
I didn't have it in my top three.
So
I'm not sure if I have it in my top three.
Really?
I think it would be wow. There now that it's all said and done. Like, looking at, let's say, a trance, for example. I think it's In Front of an Umbrella. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I think I originally had that within my top three off of first listen, but this is easy a lock right now for me. So top two, I mean, I can't really find much better with this, you know?
So we didn't have the same placement throughout this entire list. I think we're only going to get it at number one.
Well, yeah, because that's undeniably, like, yeah. That's an undeniable placement.
So number two, thought it was a drought. I'm not going to say too much on this because you did a good job of explaining the song. I think it is arguably their finest piece of work together on DS2. It would have been interesting to see where Stick Talk and Fuck Ups McCommas would have placed if they were Metro Beats, but they're not. A lot of people have that misconception. That they were produced
They're
by Metro. Yeah, exactly. But it would have been cool to see where those would have ranked here.
I probably have it over Thought It Was a Drought.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought it was a drought, especially. Like, just like you were saying, that first 30 seconds where you hear Future mixing the fucking the soda and the codeine, lighting a blunt, smoking, like, that, how do you set tone better than that for an album? Like,
you
can. That was just the perfect representation of Future. And love the sinister strings, love the production. And fun fact about the backstory behind the song. Future apparently was smashing a girl at his penthouse. Yes, that's the rumor, that it's Larsa Pippen at his penthouse wearing his Gucci flip-flops and got inspired. Like, he literally went from smashing straight to the studio, walked in and recorded the song, according to Metro, with those Gucci flip-flops still on while he was recording that song.
That's crazy.
Pretty fucking nuts, bro. Pretty nuts.
Shut up, Future.
But yeah, number one, it's going to be Low Life.
This is undeniable.
Yeah, come on.
It's their best ever collaboration.
What are we doing here?
There's no doubt. And I knew you were going to put it at number one even before this episode. I didn't have a single doubt in my mind that this would be number one on both of us.
Where do you think it would rank if this was just Future songs, everything considered?
Oh, that's a good question.
That makes it a much harder.
I have March Madness in front of it. Yeah. Listen, I still think Fuck Up Some Commas and Stick Talk in front of it. Yeah.
So this list becomes very different if you take Metro out of the equation. That's what's interesting.
That is what's interesting, right? Because Thought Is a Drought for me would be top three on this list, but it would be like within the 5 to 10 range if it would be, let's say, on another list, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think there are better Future songs. But Low Life is one of the best songs that they've ever made, if not the best. Yeah, technically, according to our list, it is the best. What do you want to talk about, bro? There's so much going on with this song. It's dark, but it's also anthemic. It's unapologetic. It's also a bit seductive from The Weeknd as well. There's just so many different dynamics going on when you listen to this track. So what is your favorite aspect of Low Life?
Favorite aspect? I mean, I don't know if I have just one aspect. I think that getting The Weeknd into like that melodic rapping bag was really fun to have. Again, the way they build up atmosphere from the beginning. And some quotables, like always. If she ever catch me cheating, I will never tell her sorry. It's one of the wildest lines you'll find from Future. Also, that's your wifey, wifey, wifey. I think I like. Just Future in full savage mode. And I think it's just the fact that everyone played their role so well.
That's true.
You know, you had Weeknd on the hook. You had Weeknd giving you a melodic performance. You had Future giving you those anthemic flows, feeling himself out. More of a party-esque vibe to Future, more digestible, and then Metro Boomin, giving us an incredible production. So, like I said, I think it's a flashy song that has
so much substance.
So much substance, for sure.
There's so much going on.
Eight times platinum, almost diamond, which is crazy.
Deservingly so.
Yeah.
They've made hits together. They've made some serious fucking hits together. So, guys, that's going to conclude our list. Let us know where we got it right. Let us know where we got it wrong. And let me know in the Q&A, what's Future and Metro Boomin's best ever song? I'd like to see your responses. And just a little reminder, if this is your first time listening to us on an audio experience, guys, hit the follow button on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this. It means the world to us. Thank you so much for listening to this, and we'll catch you next Tuesday. Peace.